indeed there is a city called heaven.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I want to make it. Not only do I want to make it, but I've got to make it.
Yes.
To the city called heaven, somewhere. Amen. We bless the Lord tonight. We thank God for those that are here. We continue to pray for those that are fighting illnesses. Amen. We thank God for my wife, who's battling, but God is still good. Amen. And bless her for life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you that are here tonight. How many know all of us got something going on in these bodies? Amen. We're getting close. If you read Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter talks about how everything with time begins to change. Amen. It describes everything. So you got to remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. When the evil days draw not nigh. But we bless the Lord tonight. Amen. We thank God. As Minister Simon was saying, whatever we're going through, somebody else, somewhere else, is going through so much worse. Amen. We thank God for the message last week from Elder Mankey on an intimate relationship with God. And Elder Gibbs on Sunday being armed and dangerous. How about y'all people that's armed and dangerous? Amen. Nevertheless, God is good. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We won't keep you long. In the future, we're going to try and change the format of our Wednesday night Bible class so it's more of a Bible study. So we have correspondence back and forth. Amen. So if there are any questions that need to be answered, we can do those. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to Joshua, the 24th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to 29 through 31, and then we'll come back and go over more of that. Amen?
Amen.
So Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll jump down to 29 through 31. Do we all have it?
Amen.
And for those who don't have it, it is on the screen. So the guests will stand up and say, man, this sun is bright. I said, yeah, that's why you got to walk out there sometimes. Walk out that bright sun. Amen. We know that God's good. Verse 1 reads, and Joshua gathered some of the tribes, a few of the tribes, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves. So he called all of them together to do what? Present themselves. How many know tonight we present ourselves before God? And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his went down into Egypt. Before we go to 19, let's go to verses 14 and 15 before we go to 19. Did I do 5? Okay, skip 5. Let's go to 14 and 15. We'll come back to 5. All right? Amen. Because I think 14 and 15 deals more with what we're going to be dealing with tonight. All right, so verse 14 reads, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. Do what? Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the God which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, serve the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said, and you may be seated. Amen. So the subject that we're going to deal tonight is, are you serving God for the right reason? There's a whole lot of people serving God. There are a lot of people going to church. There's a lot of people that are faithful to church. But are they doing it for the right reason? Well, the scripture said Joshua gathered all the tribes together. Amen. This was at the end of his leadership for Israel. And he presented themselves before God. And from verses 1 all the way down to verse 14, he reminds them of how God had delivered them, how God had blessed them, and how God had brought them out of bondage, and how when they came to Jericho, God had delivered them in Jericho. And Joshua reminded them, he said, now God did all that and you didn't have to do anything, because God did. Amen. He reminds them of all that God has done for them. Has God done anything for us? Lord, thank you. Has God made ways out of no way? Thank you, Lord. So he goes on to say let's go to verse 12, because he's reminding them of what God has done. Because he's trying to create with them some gratitude. You know, when God has done something for you, we have to have gratitude. The psalmist said, what shall I render?
Yes, yes.
Unto the Lord for what?
All.
Some of the benefits.
All.
Some of the things he's done.
All.
For all the benefits that he's done unto me. He said, I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And he said, and I will pay my vows. Right? So a vow is something between you and God. How many know a vow is not between you and an individual?
Mm-hmm.
But that vow is between you and God. But God has done great things.
Yes.
God has done marvelous things.
Yes.
God has done things that are way past finding out.
Yes.
Amen. So he says, verse 12, now he's talking about the deliverance that he's done, the things that he's done, just to create an appreciation for all that God has done. An appreciation for all the ways that God has led them. And he said, verse 12, he said, and I set the harness before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. He said, but not with
thy
and with thy. He said, you didn't have to do anything. God said, I did it. You didn't have to lift a finger. God said, I did it. He's trying to remind them that when it comes to serving me, remember all that I've done for you. Remember all the things that you didn't have to do anything, because you were my chosen people. You were special. God said, so I did all that and you didn't have to do nothing. He told them in Deuteronomy, when you live in houses that you did not build, when you drink from the wells that you did not dig, when you eat from the fruit trees and the vineyards that you did not plant. He said, when you've done all that and are full. You know what he said? When you've reached your place of success, when you've arrived, he said, beware lest you what? Forget the Lord. Why are we serving God tonight? Is it just for the benefits? The song said, if heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise that I live eternally. How do you know it's been worth?
Yes.
Come on, how do you know it's been worth just having the Lord in my life? I was living in a world of darkness,
yes,
and evil or anything else. But I serve God because he's been mighty good. I don't serve God based on any man. Amen. I respect every spiritual leader there is. But I don't serve God because of those spiritual leaders. I have those spiritual leaders because I serve God.
Right?
Amen. But we live in a day and time when people have lost the balance. Right? They've lost the reason for serving God. They think, and unfortunately some of the leaders have made people think that what they have is because of the leaders. Joshua reminded, he said, it ain't because of me, but it's because of God. Right? So he said, now you got to remember, what God are you going to serve? Right? Why are you going to serve God? What's your reasoning behind serving God? It's because God has been good. But let's drop down to verse, let's keep going. He said, I have given you land for which you did not labor. God said, I'm just reminding you how good I've been to you. That's why I said, has God been good to anybody tonight?
Amen.
Maybe I don't have everything I want, but God's still been good.
Yes.
Amen. God has made ways out of no way. For that, I just tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Some said, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough for how good he's been to me. I forget about troubles, woes, and wiles, and everything else. God still been good. Which he did not labor, cities, which he
built.
He's talking about, he said, not a house, not a land, but you got cities.
Yes.
And you did not build.
Right.
How many know tonight we're in a church that we couldn't afford to be in?
Yeah.
We're in a place that we really couldn't afford if it had not been for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. So, I tell you, our insurance company, now normally insurance companies have to come out and do an inspection. Well, he said, send me all the specs of the church, and then we'll come up with some kind of a value for the church. And so he, first time he called me, he emailed me back. He said, well, the church, he said, now, we can insure the different value. He said, but that's a marvelous church. He said, if we were to build that church today, it would be $2.1 million just to build it today. That's not the land, that's just the building. Then after they did some more evaluations, he emailed me a couple days later. He said, Pastor, I made a mistake. He said, it would cost over $2.5 million to build that church. He said, how do you want to insure $2.5 million? Attorney's like, why are you insuring that church for so much money? I said, because that's how much it costs to rebuild it. If anything ever happened. So could we build it? No. So we in a church that we could not be in.
Yes, yes.
But God has somebody else build it for us. And for that, we ought to say thank you. I said for that, we ought to say thank you. And as I said, I was doing some research on the church. When it closed in 2009, it was appraised at $1.4 million. So we called to ask if we could rent it in 2009. I'm so glad they said no. Say what's embarrassment. Couldn't touch that $1.4 million. But God works out things his way. So tonight, I'm grateful for God for all that he's done. Amen. Because we could not afford to build this church. So God had someone else build it for us, and then he moved them out of the way. And I was talking to someone today. You know, we started trying to purchase this church, I think, in 2013. Things just didn't work out right. So we finally had to meet with the Catholic Diocese a year and a half later. And the guy looked at us and said, hey, we've been waiting for this long for you all to buy this church. He said, I'm going to give you another month. And this was in, I think, June. He said, I'm going to give you another month. He said, we have all these people that want to buy the church. And it's true because we met, remember we met the people back then. He said, man, we don't know what was going on. We've been trying to buy that church. He said, we had cash.
Wow.
He said, we had cash, right? She said, we couldn't figure out what the deal was. He said, they keep telling us that they're waiting on a church, and we got cash, and we couldn't figure out why they wouldn't just sell us the church. But God. So he said, wait, it's been over a year and a half. You know how God can blind people? He said, it's been over a year and a half, matter of fact. God still blinded them. We didn't get to church for another 7 months because of God. So we're in a place that we cannot afford to do on our own. But God did it for us. Matter of fact, when we got down to the end, he said, you know what? All together, we're going to help y'all. They knocked off $25,000 of the original price.
Other person is gone, they stop serving God.
So like, what the bishop is in, and if the bishop passes, they stop serving God. Well, what, did God change? Never. But they were serving God for what? So tonight, we just want to find out, why are we serving God? If God took everything away from us tonight, could we be like Job and still fall down and worship? Amen. Can we still give God the glory if he took everything or allowed? Because God didn't take it, the devil took it. But if he allowed everything to be stripped away from us, would that change our worship? Think about that. Would it change our worship? If we lose something and start worshiping God, we were doing it for the
wrong
reason. Because our devotion to God should not be based on anything but God. Right? I think we should be, look at somebody and say, you ought to be fixated on God. Come on, y'all can talk to each other. You know, there ain't too many of y'all in your place. You got to talk now. You got to be fixated on God. Nothing else but God. Amen. And like I said, we've all made the mistake in the past of staying in a bad situation. Look at somebody say, for the wrong reason. We ought to serve God in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity is that you're doing it out of the integrity of your heart, not out of fear of what might a repercussion. It should be out of sincerity and in truth. I mean, I have to make my own judgment in this situation, and my judgment has to be like a judge. It has to be right. That's how we ought to serve God. If you're serving for any other reason, you're not doing it for the right reason. Amen. So, verse 9 of this 29th chapter reads, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken. But not with wine. They stagger, and not with strong drink. So he said, I want you to wonder. I want you to think about this. I want you to consider this. God's people, he said that they are drunk, but they're not with wine. In other words, they're carrying themselves about. If the problem is not wine, it's not intoxicating drink, it's nothing. Amen? Verse 10 says, for the Lord has poured upon you the
Spirit.
Who did it? Well, why did God did it? Do it because they weren't serving him for God. So a lot of times people say, I've been praying to God, I just can't get the right answers. It's the reason, right? So who gave him the Spirit of deep sleep? Why? There was an issue. Right? The issue was with God, not man. Amen. Let's keep going. So he says, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, have he covered, and the vision of all that we come unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says,
I cannot read it.
They should have been able to read it, but they couldn't read because God had given them the spirit of deep sleep. Amen. Verse 13 said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but so you know what? They were talking the talk, church. They were singing the songs of Zion. They were praising and worshiping the Lord, but it was nothing more than an extemporaneous outside appearance to be serving God. He said, but the real issue is, God does not read our words. God, I think a Bishop Carl Smith said, thank God that he don't listen to what our foolish mouth says, but God looks at our hearts. He said this years ago, he said he's seen some great men of God say foolish things, but then change because he said God was merciful because he didn't listen to their foolish mouth, but God knew their heart. So God said, he said, listen, you're going through all of them. Yes, you're praising. Yes, you're coming in. Listen, they come to all the service and do all the things. He said, but it's not for the right reason. Because their hearts are what? Their hearts are far from me. And their reverence for me is taught based on me. They're serving me, but it's not because of me. They're serving me So we have to be so careful tonight. Why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church? Why do we come to prayer? Why do we come to church and praise and worship the Lord? Is it out of fear of what man is teaching, or is it out of a reverence for God? That's something really to consider. Because we're living in a day and age where people are doing nothing more than going through the motions. Right? If God were to pull the covers back, I wonder where would some of them be today? You know? They say the right thing in front of man. But how many know God doesn't look at the outside? Man looks at the what? Man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. So they were going through all of the outward stuff, but God said, I see your heart. He said, the only reason that you're here is because of man. That's the only reason. You're not here because of who I am and for what I've done. But you're here because of man. So we have to be so careful tonight that we serve the Lord for the right reason. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Why are we in church tonight? Is it because of who God is and all that God has done? You know, at any time, if God wanted to, he could take the breath of life away from any of us. Every day we wake up, God gives us new mercy. Every day God gives us new grace. I might have messed up yesterday, but today is a new day. So I'm going to worship God for what he's done for me today. There are many that have passed from time to eternity in their sleep. But God is a merciful God. God is so good. So we don't want to serve God based on anything that man teaches. Because what man teaches is in opposition to what God teaches. Alright? So let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. He reads, "This know also that in the last days," there's going to be some, the perilous times are not just the dangers, but there's going to be a spiritual danger. The perilous times are not a physical danger, but it's going to be a spiritual danger. Spiritually on the outside, spiritually on the inside. Because no one can see what's going on in your heart and in your motives why you're doing what you do, but who? God. So it said, perilous times shall come. Shall means fixed. There's no guessing. They shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. So they're in church. But they're not in church because of God. They're in church for their own selves. There are some people in church, and all the reason they're in church is because of what they're getting of the benefits of the residuals for being in church. Not because of the relationship with God, but because of all they got. And they can point and tell you, I got planes, I got this, I got that. If I don't have nothing, as long as I got God, that's enough. Amen. If I don't have anything, as long as I got God, that's enough. Amen. So he said that men should be lovers of their own selves, greedy, covetous, boasters, bragging. Man, be careful. This sounds like the 21st century church leaders, right? Always, I got this, and I've done that, and I've done the other. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Even right to the who? The church? The church is unthankful? The church is unholy? The church is proud and boasters? Serving God for their own reasons. Amen? Without natural affection, this natural affection means people are just hard-hearted, mean-spirited. In church, these are the perilous times. You don't see it, but it's in the heart. That should never, in church we went over that, the fruit of the Spirit. That mean, amen, God. God never had one ever mean spirit. If God had a mean spirit when they were crucified, he would have said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know." That's how we are to embody the Christian walk. No matter what anybody does to us, we should have a spirit of Because if you don't forgive, you're serving God for the wrong reason. Who's our perfect example?
Jesus.
All right, let's ask y'all. Give y'all time. Y'all think about that. Who's our perfect example?
Jesus.
So we're called to be what? Christians. Amen. To be a Christian means to be what?
Christ-like.
That means we're supposed to act like Christ. He said, well, we are just human here, but we are to serve God for the right reasons. Right? If we don't serve Him for the right reason, anything else, that's not what God gets glory of. All right? So natural, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This is the church. How can the church be despising somebody that's doing good stuff? Because they're serving God for the wrong reasons. We ought to, the Bible says, when one rejoices, we ought to all rejoice. When one is sorrowful, we ought to all be sorrowful. Because this is the spirit of the church. The spirit of the church is not an individual, but it's a collective thing. So whatever one is going through, we all go through it together. If we serve God for the right reason. You know, I was telling my wife, the other day we were laughing, but we were talking about something. And I said, yeah, nigga, guess what they deserve? I said, no, I take that back. You know, because people always say that. You got what you deserve. No, they didn't get what they deserve. I take it back. You know what? Because that could have been me. So when someone is down, it's the responsibility of the church to do what? Lift them up. Now, has there been a time in the church, or church history, where they said the church are killing their wounded, right? We were watching some stuff on Vietnam last night. They said the Vietnamese wouldn't allow one of their wounded or one of their soldiers that were down, they wouldn't leave them. They went through extraordinary means to get them, even if they were wounded or killed, they said they could hardly find any of them. Well, they said really the main reason they did is because they didn't want to know how many of them were killed. But they said they wouldn't leave any of them behind because they went to extreme measures to make sure that they could bring in their wounded. That's how the church ought to be. When someone is down, we should glory in that. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. We should be happy when somebody's down. We should want to lift. Well, listen, don't make the difference how halfway they are in church. As long as they're in church, we can lift them up. So we don't want to get in the position of saying, this and that and the other, you know, there go I, but the grace of God. All right, so Paul goes on to say in verse 5, he says, verse 4, the latter part, lovers of pleasures. There was nothing wrong with the pleasure, but they did it more than God. Anything you put before God is a what? An idol. So they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a what they did all the church stuff. They shouted, they testified, they danced. But in essence, their real life was denied the power thereof. He said, from such, run to them. Do what? We don't embrace wrong. Don't support wrong. Don't matter who it is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Because we're supposed to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Truth is righteous judgment. No matter who it is, no matter what, you know, sometimes you gotta say, well, just excuse me. I can't support that. That's not right. It's wrong. Right? We gotta make a stand for God. Now let's go to the book of Jude. We're gonna read a couple of verses in Jude. Book of Jude, we're gonna read verses. Let's just go right to verse 16 of the book of Jude. And we know this is a warning that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. So a certain man that crept in, unaware, right? So there's a destroying, there's a spiritual cancer that is stuck in unaware. And it's wreaking havoc in the church. So Jude is who? The Lord's what? Half brother. So this Jude is the Lord's half brother. And it says, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own, on lust. But in this, he said, don't go in the way of Cain. Remember Cain? Cain killed his own brother. Cain did not walk in faith. Because the Bible said, by faith Abel offered unto. But Cain did it because of his own self-will. He gave God what he wanted to give God. Remember, he wanted it by Cain. And he said, Cain, he said, shall not you be accepted if you do that which is well pleasing or right? And instead of Cain doing what was right, he got more angry. Right? Because he was being self-governed, self-will. When you're not walking in faith, then you're not being governed by the Spirit of God. You're being self-will, self-governed. So he said, watch out for Cain. Then he said, watch out for Balaam. Remember, Balaam was supposed to curse Israel. Now, how you going to curse people, God's people? Right. So he said, be careful now. Don't go after the reward of Balaam. Because Balaam, God told him, he said, don't go. But you know, sometimes when God tells you not to do something, you say, yeah, it's all right. I don't mind losing $100. If somebody comes and offers you like $25,000, $30,000, $100,000, God forgive me if I take that, right? Right? Greedy for reward. So Balaam said, The first group of men they sent for Balaam is that God said, don't go. But he said, some more honorable king, the princess. And Balaam said, temptation, yeah. He said, I'm not going. So God said, if they come and get you tomorrow, then go. Balaam got up the next morning when he got them. God told him, he said, if they come and get you. God said, you know what, I'm trying to help you out. He said, if they come and get you, go. Balaam said, huh? When I woke up, he said, why y'all still asleep? Let's go get this money. So as he was on his donkey on his way to curse God's people that God had already told them, he couldn't curse them. But he was self-willed. He was determined for what? Listen, don't do anything in church based on what you can get. Covetous, isn't that what he said? Last days are going to be covetous. That means greedy for money. Right? Don't be covetous. So Balaam, you can follow Balaam. Because Jude warns about Balaam. So Balaam is on his way, and three times the Lord sends him away to do what? Slay him. He's trying to stop him. Then finally, you know you're in a bad situation. You know you're doing the wrong thing when you're animal. You messed up, right? You're really mad when your animal starts talking to you. It's all right for him to talk to you, but even worse when you start talking back to him. Say, you know, horse is a horse, of course, say this, the horse is afraid of his head. You know what I'm saying? The talking horse. Right? So the horse or the donkey is talking to Balaam, and Balaam is talking back. Right about that, he should have called his staff and said, wait a minute, what am I doing? But God, remember he said, giving him the spirit of deep sleep? He had blinded him, he didn't realize what was going on. Then he said, finally the Lord opened his eyes because he had been blind. Because of what? Reward. He was greedy for money, just want the money. So God opens his eyes. He said, oh God, forgive me. Listen, he said, I have what? Sin. Right about that when you sin. So sin means to do, after you sin, you're supposed to what? Repent. When you repent, that means you're supposed to go the opposite direction. He said, I've sinned, but he didn't repent. Why? Because he kept going. He said, if you want me to, Lord, I will go back. He already said you sinned. He already said God tried to kill you. What do you mean, if you want me to, I'll go back? He didn't repent. So that's the final problem. We can acknowledge when we mess up, but we keep doing the wrong thing. Then he tells them, beware of Korah. Because what Korah did, Korah said, Moses, you take too much upon you. Right? So he began to challenge the authority. So then that brings us, that fits y'all in between. Y'all ain't got to read it, but you can't read it. All right? So then that brings us down to this 16th verse. So their complainers walking behind after their love. You should serve God. You can't serve God for the right reason when it's all about you, what you can get, and your benefits. It's not about your own lust. And their mouth speaking, not action. They just, some people talk way too much. Because their mouth is speaking great, swelling word, having men's persons in because of, I'm doing it because of what I'm going to get. Right? So that's wrong. That's a wrong spirit. You're doing it for the wrong reason. You're just doing all, oh, I praise, he says, he said, he's done all this flattery for advantage. These are murmurers. These are people that are messing up your feet. These are their love feet. Why? Because they have men's persons in admiration for what they can. Advantage is what you, advantage is what you can get. Y'all play tennis. When you get the advantage, it beats you up. Y'all play tennis. Matter of fact, he tried to get me to quit playing some sport to play. I forget what sport it was. No, stop playing running track. But advantage is what you can get. Brothers and sisters, don't do anything for advantage. Whatever you do, do for who? For God. Amen. Now, let's go to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. Tonight, more than anything, I want to serve God for the right reason. It's not for advantage, it's not for him, it's not for her. A lot of people in church, right? But they're not in church for the right reason. Matter of fact, we were down south, my wife and I asked about some different individuals that used to tear the church up preaching, but they're no longer in church. So we'd ask Bishop Evangel Hayes about some of them. He said, well, they had a bad relationship. The relationship didn't work, so they walked away from God. They were in church for what?
Wrong reason.
Men, don't go to church for a woman. Woman, don't go to church for a man. Go to church for who?
God.
Even if they give you ultimatum, don't have man's person in admiration for advantage. Be careful with that. That will mess you up. Somebody said, well, if you keep going to church, me and you will finish. As long as I got God, I got enough. Don't let anybody give you an ultimatum between an individual and God. Don't allow that to even happen. Well, you don't realize if I don't do this, if I'm going to have this, I'm going to lose my car, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose all that. As long as you got God, you got enough. Don't make any decision based on advantage. What you can get, what you can accumulate. That is the wrong reason. Colossians, the second chapter. You all with me?
Amen.
I only got a couple more verses, so I'm going to be bringing it to a close in a minute. The fourth verse reads, and Colossians, the second chapter, fourth verse, y'all got it? And this I say, lest any man should watch some enticing words. We're dealing with serving the law for the right reason. Hey, if you come to church, I'm going to make you this, I'm going to give you that. No, I will always come to church because of what God can give me. Because you got to be careful when people give you something, because they give it to you, guess what? They can take it away. Right? So what they would do is they would use what they give you to manipulate and control you. Because of the fear of losing. Because of advantage. So don't ever serve God based on what people can give you. Because as fast as they give it to you, they will
take it
away. What I like about God, the Bible said, the gifts of calling to God are without repentance. If God gives you something, even if you mess up, God won't get mad and take it away from you. Because God is a good God. So God's gifts and calling are without repentance. The mother gives a calling, take it away in a heartbeat. Right? Say, I made you this and I'll make you that. That's what I heard a preacher once say, I made you an elder and I'll take it away. Have mercy. An elder is supposed to be an ordination from who?
God.
So if God called me and you take it away, God can call me. You understand that? Because when God calls you, God will also sustain and neither the son of man that he should lie. In other words, God's not going to tell you something to get mad at.
Take it away.
So that's why we have to serve him for God. So beware those enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit. Joy in beholding. Just stay in order. Right? God honors order. And the steadfastness of your faith in the church. In the leadership. Your faith
in Christ.
Because if your faith is not in Christ, those enticing words will lead you astray. So you got to stay in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, stay in Him. Don't you walk out of God because of anybody else's word. Even if people say some negative, ungodly stuff about you, don't you get out of Christ. You can leave that church, but don't you leave Christ. Because Christ is good. He said, rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. So you can say all you want, you won't get me out of here because I'm built up. Rooted and built up in them and established as you have been taught, abounding them with thanksgiving. Beware. You got to be on guard. See, these enticing words. These words are being used for admiration and for advantage. Beware of any man. That means to captivate you, to lead you astray. That means to make you captive to their wills. That's what spawn means. They will capture you, and make you captive to their will. He said, watch that. Hallelujah. If anybody puts anything on you more than Christ, from such, the Bible says, turn away. So beware, let's say, what do they captivate you with? Those enticing words. Those enticing words that get you involved with the situation, and all you can see is the man and not God. Watch that. I don't care how well they preach. I don't care what they can do. You shall know them by their fruits. Is that what the Bible said? Didn't Jesus say that? He spoiled you through philosophy and all that false praise on me. All y'all ladies ought to know this Proverbs 31 said, beauty is deceitful and favor is vain. But a woman, so what are you looking for? I'm looking for a woman that fears the Lord. Thank you so much. Don't blush. Right? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be. Watch all that vanity stuff, right? I don't care what they walk like, talk like, look like. This day and age, you got to be careful. No, I ain't going to go there. I ain't going to go there. But favorite, all that stuff, that's deceitful. Don't get caught up in that. Just look for the Spirit of Christ in the individual. That'll take you much further than anything else, all right? And after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, whatever you do, do it now. After Christ. Let's go to Romans, the 16th chapter. I think I'll close here. We've gone far enough that I believe we get the gist of it now. It's so important that we not serve God for the wrong reason. Never serve God for what you can get. If you're serving God for what you can get or for advantage or how you want to profit, this is for the wrong reason. So, Romans the 16th chapter, Paul gives them this warning. And the 17th verse. Y'all want to get down to the 20th verse where you can put Satan under your foot? Everybody wants to put Satan under their foot, but before you put him under the foot, you have to do some stuff first. Everybody just want to get to the foot. No, you got to live right. You live right, then you can put Satan under your foot.
Amen.
Stomp all over the devil's head. Amen. Verse 17 said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause
divisions
and offenses, which are what? It is contrary to the doctrine. This mark, like a lot of people say, you're supposed to ostracize them. They say you're supposed to observe. This part we shall observe them diligently. Mm-hmm. You know what I say? I hear what they're saying, but I'm going to watch what they are doing. Mm-hmm. So you got to observe them diligently. Watch them. It ain't just enough. They preach, they shout it. What did they do once they left church? Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. You got to watch, because you got to make sure they're not doing things that's contrary to the doctrine. Yes, they preach it, but then they live here. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Right. So yes, you got to have the gospel. But look at somebody say, what did you do when you left church? That's what counts. Really? What kind of thing? So you gotta mark them. Watch them. I'm not talking about the Bible talk about evil. What's that word? Evil surmising, yeah. Don't be evil in a suspicious way. But you're supposed to watch people. You're supposed to observe them. Because if they're walking out of order, that's not the company you keep.
Amen?
Amen. You understand? Amen. If they're out of order, it's not the company. So if you keep that company, then you're serving God for the wrong reason. Because you know they are contrary to the what? To the gospel. Amen? Which you have learned and if they're walking contrary, you're supposed to do what? So, well, yeah, I can't say that, but that'd be too easy to guess. But let me find another way to say this. So, yeah, I know they messed up, but I never mind. Just don't mark them. All right? Just a mark. They messed up, don't. Till they get it right, just keep out of it. All right, let me use Mark. When Paul Barnes was with Mark. Somebody said, just stay in the Bible, you won't mess up. Right? Stay in the Bible, won't mess up. When Paul and Barnabas was going on their missionary journey, Mark went, but then he left. So then Paul said, they get ready to go again. Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Paul said, no. Remember last time in the middle of the journey, Mark left and went back home. We can't take Mark. Because he didn't walk in order.
Amen.
So it was such a bitter thing that Paul went one way and Barnabas went the other way. That's when Paul got Silas. Right? And Barnabas went his way. But then sometimes later, Paul said, now you can bring Mark. Because he is now profitable for the ministry. And that's a better example. Right? So when he was out of order, Paul said, don't bring him. But when he got back in order, he said, you can now bring it. So he did not cast them off forever. But for the time, because he was out of order, he said, you got to avoid him. Barnabas, we cannot take him. But when he got it together, y'all like those godly examples? That's a good one. All right. Verse 18 reads, for they that are such, if they're out of order, they're not doing it for the right reason. They're not serving who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul is writing about people who preach one thing, but they live differently. He said they're not really serving the Lord, but they're serving their own belly. And listen, they can preach up a storm. They got it all together. They got all the latest cliches. God has with them, but by good words and they do what?
See
the heart of the simple. Tonight, serve God for the right reason. Mark those that are out of order. If their lives are not in order, then it don't mean that the Bible says that which are spiritual, help restore those that are fallen in the spirit of meekness, right? If a brother be fallen, you are spiritual, help restore. So our overall objective is to restore, but you can't restore if someone is wrong and you are supportive of that. You have to avoid them. Not walk down the street and see them and turn your head to them. All this ungodly, this is ungodly, you know what I'm saying? The world, listen, let me give you this classic example. The world knows that I'm saved go the other way. You know what the world think? Y'all are hypocrites. Right? Seriously. So you avoid them, but you don't avoid them by being in ostentatious display so people can say, listen, aren't y'all church folks? And y'all can't talk to each other? Right? So you avoid them. You do speak, as Bishop Franklin said, you speak, you be kind, but you don't be intimate with them. Sorry, man. I know you said you're intimate. Right? But when they're out of order, you're not supposed to make them feel comfortable. Right? But for the sake of the world, we're not supposed to let the good be what? Evil spoken of. But then Jesus said, don't cash in your pearls. And give back that which is holy to the dogs. Who said that? Jesus. So there's a way that we have to carry ourselves so that the way of truth is not evil spoken of. If the world is watching us and we act worse than the world, what makes the world want to get saved? Right? So we should carry ourselves in the way that they know we're serving God for the right reason to understand. Tonight, we want to serve God for the right reason. Reasons. We don't want to be influenced by anything that's ungodly or contrary to God. Tonight, why are we serving the Lord? Is it for what we can get? Is it for benefit? Is it for advantage? But is it because what shall I render to God for all of his benefits? When you're in church, I don't care how bad you think you have it, it's nothing but benefits. Right? Because God will always bless and make a way. So tonight, how many want to serve God for the right reason?
Amen.
The right reason means no matter who's with me, out of my integrity and the truthfulness of my heart, I will do what is right. Because nobody has to watch me. But if I serve for the wrong reason, I have to do what's right as long as Joshua and those that outlived him were around. Once they died, what happened? They stopped following the Lord. Follow God.